There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
In the area where this trial is taking place, obviously, you have a lot of Mormons. You have a lot of people that are into magical beliefs. And I'm not trying to be insulting, but that's just kind of what it is. Melanie, I think, kind of bridges that gap from the extreme of the Daybells into, I guess, kind of Mormonism, where they're not, everyone who looks at this trial, I mean, unless you're part of the Mormon religion, you're looking at it going, this is insane. Like, this is all really, really bizarre beliefs. But to many, you know, some of those beliefs are not so far out there, but they're trying to highlight the ones that are not quite part of their doctrine, not quite part of the extreme, where, so it kind of connects those with some people going, well, I kind of agree with that, or I kind of believe this or that. And it makes it, I think, a little more palatable, I guess, if someone is in that belief system.
Yeah. And frankly, I've got some boots in the ground in the courtroom there who happens to be a defense attorney, super bright woman. And she's been texting me, and she texted me yesterday that motion that came up, that's regarding the prosecutor Wood, the male prosecutor, that he had so many text communications with Melanie Gibb, like leading up the trial, that it was a concern that the defense was going to try to call Wood, who's actively the lead prosecutor, to testify. But the point of that is that she was saying that 96% of Rexburg, Idaho, which is where this all went down, is LDS, Latter-day Saints, which is
Mormon. Yep.
A subset of Mormonism. Yeah. And including the judge, including all the lawyers, aside from John Pryor, the defense attorney. So it's very, very much a part of their culture there.
Yeah.
And when Allison and I covered Lori's case on our podcast, you know, you would be stunned at the amount of people that practicing LDS members were reaching out to us. Like, this is not what our religion is.
No,
you know, this is not, like, they have bastardized it, and this is like some bizarre form of it. I mean, there's some core tenets that they have used, but in terms of everything else, it's not what it is. So yeah, like, that's why I found Lori's trial so fascinating, man, because it's such an entanglement of, you know, people's First Amendment right to have their faith of their choosing, and the government's not allowed to stand in the way of that, and, you know, in the criminal justice system, it's so entangled, man, that it's a fascinating trial to me. And you always worry about, you know, the jurors, even. You know, are the jurors more traditional LDS members? What exception are they taking to their faith being, you know, completely torn apart by these two people who were, you know, using again, like, you know, the 144,000 is a thing that is part of Latter-day Saints and, you know, Joseph Smith's teachings. But like, as far as like the depths in which they went with like the, you know, the scale and, you know, having to, that the bodies are just vessels that have been taken over by dark spirits. And the only way that you can get rid of the dark spirits is to kill the vessel, you know, because they're claiming like all of that stuff is nothing having to do with LDS. You know? So,
no, I mean, it obviously got very bastardized by Lori and Chad and the small following that they had. What was your thoughts on the new piece of video that we saw this week that we had never seen in the past? We had never had a chance to see Chad in the patrol car talking with his daughter as they were going through his yard and his home. And there was that statement that was made of, I'm not coming back. Consciousness of guilt is what that screams to me. And it actually, it was interesting because we always have wondered how deep was Chad into these beliefs? Was he truly buying it the same way Lori was? That statement right there really just kind of shows me, no, he knows he got caught at doing something pretty off.
No question, man. Like that was interesting. And that was definitely something that we did not see in Lori's trial. And I think it absolutely went to consciousness of guilt. And it went beyond that. It wasn't just like, you know, like I don't plan on coming out, or, you know, don't expect me to be coming out anytime soon. You know, he's talking to her about making the mortgage payments.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he really understands what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows that the jig is up. You know, they're digging, and they're digging exactly where they need to be digging. They're searching. They're searching. You know, it's like he knew it was up. So that was, in terms of consciousness of guilt, very powerful, very, very powerful evidence by the state.
Yeah. I mean, he was not like, oh my God, I have no idea why they're here. What are they doing? They're like, there's nothing in the house. I'm not coming back. Like, right. Ooh, that was pretty strong right out of the gate.
It was.
Which I find interesting. I mean, if they're showing that like pretty much out of the gate.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.